This is Brother Peter Diamond, VaticanCatholic.com. This video is called A Response to Ken. In this video, I'm going to be discussing an individual who criticized us and some of our views, and I wanted to talk about that. Only a few of our readers will be familiar with this individual, so it's not for everyone unless you're interested. However, I will be discussing some matters that are relevant and important in the context of refuting his false claims. And this individual came out of the Novus Ordo some years ago after seeing our video Creation of Miracles and then watching Death and the Journey into Hell and then watching the Heresies of Benedict XVI video and looking at our website. And prior to coming across our information, he was a Father Carapi supporter, very active in his Novus Ordo parish. He had no idea that the new mass was even a new mass. He didn't know there was anything else. It was through getting our material that he became aware of what was going on, left the Novus Ordo, got the picture about what was happening, and he acknowledges that. And he, from what I gathered, was a reader and I think a supporter of our material for some time, and some of his close family members were as well. However, he eventually fell under the influence of some of these independent priests and these groups, such as the CMRI and similar priests and groups and their supporters, who, as we've documented, believe that souls can be saved in any religion. And one of the things he mentions in his criticism of us is that we falsely accuse these priests of believing that. And I must say that I am just amazed that these people can actually make this claim. It is a total fact that all of these groups believe that souls can be saved in any religion. It's been documented over and over again. I have a whole video, Sede Vacantis Priests Who Deny Catholic Salvation Dogma. Watch it. I quote the texts. I quote the books. I quote the magazine articles. I play audio from them. And anyone just has to ask them. And so what you're dealing with here are people who are not honest. They just refuse to believe because it would cause them to change something in their lives. They're so attached to the community and their local church and the relationships they've formed with these priests that they just close their eyes to the truth. It's willful ignorance. And I'm going to discuss more about that. But he says he doesn't agree with us because we condemn these priests and he believes in, quote, baptism of desire and NFP. And I'm not going to spend time in this video refuting his false position on NFP, which is evil. We have an article about it, and we've refuted it elsewhere, and there are other things he says which I could spend time refuting, but I don't want to get into it here just because it's a separate topic. Needless to say, his, quote, understanding of the magisterium is false, and in fact, I had a recorded debate with this individual, and it was about baptism of desire, and he admits that his arguments were all refuted, because they were, and he even acknowledges within the course of the debate that he changed his position on the issue, but is dishonest about how that transpired, as I'm going to explain. And so if we discuss some of these other things he's promoting, he'd be refuted about those as well, because his position is false. But he goes on to attack our so-called lack of charity, and specifically mine, in this video he did. And it's just filled with distortions, half-truths, numerous outright falsehoods, and hypocrisy. And I want to refute it and discuss it. So I've given a little background on what happened to this guy. He came across the material, apparently liked it for a while, but then basically was swayed by these heretical priests. And that's one of the biggest problems we have today, is that people don't have a firm-rooted relationship with God, but they are swayed and influenced by what others say. And that's why that video I did called Solitude, Behold Where God Is Found, is so important, because it gets into how you're not going to find God in other people or with other people. You're only going to find God in solitude. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to isolate yourself. It just means that people most frequently are taken away from the correct path by being corrupted by the influences of others. That's why things like Facebook and even YouTube commenting and things like that can have a pernicious influence, because you're constantly receiving feedback from individuals who are in mortal sin, who have never found God in solitude, who waste their time, and so you're subtly corrupted by their outlook if you're constantly looking at that, and you're liberalized. And that's one of the advantages of being in a monastery, frankly, is you're away from other people and you start to look at things more accurately the way they are, rather than what other people are saying about things, because they're always going to be opposing the right way, even if it's subtle. And that's why there's so much opposition to the fact that these priests believe that souls can be saved in any religion, because you have all these heretical lay people who say, no, my priest doesn't believe that because it would affect what they do in their daily lives. They have human attachments with the families who support these priests. And so it's a corrupted, impure analysis of the issue. And maybe that's what I should begin to talk about. This guy's name is Ken. He's one of the few people who claims to believe in baptism of desire only for catechumens. All right? Now, he doesn't, because he supports priests who believe souls can be saved in any religion. And as we've pointed out in the past, all the people who believe in, quote, baptism of desire, even if they don't believe souls can be saved in any religion themselves, which almost all of them do, but let's say you have a few who don't, they still support or accept as Catholic priests or individuals who believe that. And so he is just dishonest when he says that he doesn't believe baptism of desire extends to anyone but an unbaptized catechumen. While he supports the CMRI and Bishop Sanborn and these priests, and this guy has the audacity to say that these priests don't believe that. And one of the things he says in his video is that they've never called up Bishop Pavoronis or the CMRI to find out what they believe. He says, absolutely not. So it's just false that they believe that. Now, I have talked to Bishop Pavoronis. So what you say is false. I've talked to Bishop Pavoronis. I've talked to Father Gregory. I talked to a nun. I talked to another priest up in Spokane. They all indicated that they believe souls can be saved in false religions. Jews who reject Christ can be saved. It's a fact. And if we had a debate with them, which I'm sure none of them would ever debate us, because if I got to question them, or we got to question them, 2 minutes in, it would be exposed that they accept that souls can be saved in any religion. They actually believe in universal salvation. They wouldn't necessarily say they think everyone's going to heaven, but they can't exclude anyone. And I would prove that in a conversation. And he tries to say that their article, The Salvation of Those Outside the Church, doesn't teach salvation outside the church. That's just pure hogwash. To quickly refute it, I'll just cite a different article they published. This way, I'll prove the point by a different witness from the same publication, if you will, called The Boston Snare. This is published in the CMRI's magazine, The Reign of Mary, volume 26, number 83. It was written by Bishop Robert McKenna. Now, as we've documented, Bishop Robert McKenna believes Jews who reject Christ can be saved. I have the letter from him. We talked about this in our video, Sedevacantist Priests Deny Catholic Salvation Dogma. And yet these liars, like Ken, he's a liar, will, despite this evidence that's right in front of your face, that he says, Father Fahey's statement, that Jews who reject Christ can be in the state of grace, is an expression of baptism of desire. That's what he says. They will still say he doesn't believe that. Still say he doesn't believe souls can be saved in false religions. This is abominable. Abominable lying. And it's all because of their corrupted human attachments. And that is a lack of charity. And I'll get to his false accusations about my so-called lack of charity later. But first, let's refute some of the falsehoods. And so anyway, McKenna writes this article, and he's written numerous articles for their publication. What does that tell you? Are they therefore hostile to the theology of Bishop McKenna on salvation when he's writing articles for them on that topic? No, I don't think so. He's writing articles for them because he's in continuity with them on that issue. To say otherwise is absurd. And in this article it says, quote, the doctrine then of no salvation outside the church is to be understood in the sense of knowingly outside the church. All right? That's what they believe. They believe that if you know the Catholic Church is true and reject it, then there's some sort of obligation. But even in those cases, if I pin them down, they would still say they can't judge. But that's what he's articulating here. But if you don't know, for example, if you're a Muslim in Pakistan and you've never heard of the Catholic Church, or you don't know it's the true church, you can be saved. Or if you're a Jew in some other country, or if you're a Buddhist in the Far East and you don't know. Okay, that's what they believe. They believe an invincible ignorance. It's not hard to figure out. And who does that invincible ignorance apply to? Catechumens? No. It applies to souls in any religion. And he goes on in this article, and it's so modernist and heretical. But, they may object, if such be the sense of the dogma, why is the word knowingly not part of the formula? Outside the church, no salvation. For the simple reason that the addition is unnecessary. How could anyone know of the dogma and not be knowingly outside the church? The dogma is not so much a doctrine intended for the instruction of Catholics, but rather a solemn and material warning or declaration for the benefit of those outside the ark of salvation. End quote. Now this is pure modernism. It's totally heretical. And again, this is the CMRI's publication. He's not only rejecting the true meaning of the dogma, because if you look at every dogmatic definition, it excludes all exceptions. It doesn't leave any room. It says none of those, no one. It doesn't say for those knowingly outside the church. It identifies pagans, and pagans are in lands that have not yet been reached by the gospel. So it's just totally heretical. But it also represents that he denies that dogmas are truths fallen from heaven. That's a condemned error of the modernists, that dogmas are not truths fallen from heaven, but a kind of interpretation. And so what McKenna and the CMRI are teaching here is that the dogma is not a pure, infallible truth from heaven, but it's a warning for non-Catholics. That's what it says, a solemn and material warning for the benefit of those outside the church. In other words, you should be Catholic. It's like a big message. Become Catholic because you should be. No, that's not what it is. It's not a warning. That's not its purpose. It's an expression of the reality. It's a proclamation of the divinely revealed truth that all who die as non-Catholics are not saved. And it is intended for Catholics to know what they must believe and profess, contrary to what McKenna says. He says it's not so much a doctrine intended for the instruction of Catholics, but rather a warning for the rest of the world. No, wrong. It's an infallible proclamation which Catholics must believe concerning the reality that all who die as non-Catholics are not saved. And in the process of trying to defend their heretical position, they change the nature of the dogma from a truth fallen from heaven to simply a warning or a message for non-Catholics. It's also a fact that at their confirmation class at their chapel in Santa Clarita, California, the teacher of the class, a layman, publicly stated that Jews can be saved without the Catholic faith, and this was communicated to us, and Father Dominic Radecki was asked about this horrible heresy, and Radecki not only did not rebuke the layman who stated that Jews can be saved without the Catholic faith, but he defended the layman's heresy. They also sell Ludwig Ott's book, which says on page 310 that, quote, those who are in point of fact outside the church can achieve salvation. Their publications teach it. They have Bishop McKenna writing for them because they believe it. I've spoken to their priests. It's simply a fact. To deny that the CMRI believes that souls can be saved in non-Catholic religions, in false religions, outside the church, is simply to be a liar. It's just to be an abominable liar. Once you've seen the evidence. This guy Ken rightly lumps the CMRI in with Sanborn and these other priests because they're all on the same page on this issue, even though Sanborn works more closely with Chicada and Dolan. But this guy Ken defends Sanborn as a good man and acts as if he doesn't believe in this heresy either. I mean, it's just amazing. And I just want to play this clip from this video I did. It's on YouTube. It's a very important video. Please watch it. Sedevacantist priests who deny Catholic salvation dogma. And I want to play the section on Sanborn, who Ken says is a good man and does not believe in salvation outside the church. Let's see how that claim squares with the facts. In line with this heresy, we find Bishop Donald Sanborn. In his publication years ago, Sacerdotium 5, Sanborn explicitly stated that, quote, if by some mystery of providence and predestination, they, referring to pagans and idolaters, are united to the soul of the church and by desire to its body, it is in spite of their paganism and idolatry, end quote. So he explicitly indicates that pagans and idolaters can be united to the church. He also explicitly told a friend of ours, when asked about these issues, that a Jew who rejects Christ can be saved. He would therefore also have to include Muslims who reject Christ, Buddhists who reject Christ, etc. Before proceeding, it's quite interesting to note that Bishop Sanborn and those like him frequently condemn the Vatican II heresy, which, quote, places the Novus Ordites in communion with everything, Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, Spiritists, Jews, great thumb worshippers, end quote. And he says and condemns the idea that they are in communion with all these different members of false religions, which the Vatican II Church teaches by John Paul II's heresy that Christ unites himself with every man, even those who don't have any faith in the gospel or Christ himself. So he's condemning the notion of being united with members of these false religions who don't believe in Christ, yet embraces that very heresy when explaining how people and which people he believes are saved. In his sermon on February 17, 2008, Bishop Sanborn repeated the same heresy.
False religions are an abomination in the sight of God. And if someone is saved who is in those false religions, it has nothing to do with that false religion. It has to do with the grace of God and their ignorance.
So it's undeniable. He believes that souls can be saved in false religions. And that is blatantly heretical and condemned by the Church. So there you have it. Who's telling the truth about what Sanborn and these priests believe? Are we telling the truth? Or is this guy Ken? It's obvious, unless you're a complete liar, who can deny the very words you hear, we are. And by denying this fact, after he had access to it, he saw our evidence and our presentation and these facts, Ken not only commits the mortal sin of lying, by saying they don't believe what they clearly do believe, he also commits another grave sin of defending heretics publicly, and he commits another mortal sin of slandering us, because he said we misrepresented these priests when we most accurately described their position. We have the audio, we have the direct quote, we have personal confirmation. It's obvious, even from the standpoint of their acceptance of invincible ignorance. Who would they say are the invincibly ignorant individuals? Are they people who have heard of Jesus Christ? No. They are people in the various false religions of the world, or even who don't have any religion, who do not accept Christ. And they not only believe that invincible ignorance applies to people who haven't heard of Christ, but they also believe that, quote, invincible ignorance applies to people who are not convinced of Christ and his true church. That's what was articulated by McKenna and the CMRI in the article, The Boston Snare. So according to this, even if you're a Jewish rabbi who's heard of Christ, you may even have good friends who are, quote, Christians, yet if you are not persuaded by the claims about Jesus, you can be in good faith. That's what they believe. So it's universal salvation. It's the possibility of universal salvation. It's true that some groups are more open about what they really believe on this point than others. For example, Lefebvre, Archbishop Lefebvre, was actually more honest in a sense than these other heretics, because he came right out in his book Against the Heresies and just said what they all really believe, that souls can be saved in any religion, Buddhism, Hinduism, Judaism, etc. That's Against the Heresies, pages 216 through 218, and also his book Open Letter to Confused Catholics. It's also published in the SSPX's book Time Bombs of the Second Vatican Council. And Sanborn, these other priests, were educated in this environment. That's what they learned. That's the poison from which they drank. So they learned heresy from the beginning. So they were never really brought into the true apostolic faith. They never really had it, probably. They always believed that Christ was unnecessary, which is repugnant to the gospel. And so for this guy, Ken, to say that these priests don't believe it, it's almost an unforgivable sin. Once you've seen the evidence, it is an abomination. And what it reveals is, and I'm not trying to be too hard on this guy, but this is spiritual blindness in action. This is an example of a person who, because it would cause him dismay in his personal life, it would cause him to have to disaffiliate perhaps from the church he supports or the friends he has, he just blocks out the truth. And yet at the same time, he wants to act as if he's one with the people who are condemning the Vatican II Church's heresy of salvation outside the church. Now, you can't have it both ways. The CMRI and SSPV and Sanborn and all these heretics, They were the root cause of the apostasy. The reason Vatican II occurred is because of priests like this. They are the enemy. They are absolutely the enemy of the true faith. They're not the only enemies, but they are enemies. And they're not much different from Benedict XVI. They're almost as bad. Now, he's more diverse in his heresies. He covers, obviously, more issues, and he's more notorious about different aspects. But in terms of the content of what they believe on the salvation dogma itself, that issue, the CMRI and the SSPV, they're Novus Ordo. There's no difference. If you talk to a more educated Novus Ordo priest who's more familiar with the issues, he would give you the same explanation. He would misunderstand Pius IX. He would quote these other fallible arguments that have been refuted. He would reference, quote, baptism of desire, talk about invincible ignorance, and say we can't judge. And so while the CMRI isn't as open as Lefebvre, that's what they believe. Okay, and it comes out from time to time. They also promote NFP and encourage people to limit their families. And so they're just evil. They're just evil, false shepherds. And another thing that these people don't realize is that they think that because these independent priests have seminaries, wear cassocks, have churches, have a more formal situation and setup, that they somehow possess some status in the church. They don't, okay? Anybody could go get ordained. Now, that's one point the no jurisdiction people make correctly. They're totally wrong. The no jurisdiction position is ridiculous and completely false, and we have audios refuting that. But the one point they emphasize, which is true, is that all these independent groups are independent. Okay, so we get these emails from these supporters of these priests as if you should submit to what these priests and these bishops say. These priests and bishops are just people who have out on their own gotten themselves ordained and consecrated. Anybody can do that, okay? They have no status. They have no more authority than any layperson. It's true that they have sacramental powers, but so do the Eastern, quote, Orthodox. That's the point you need to realize. Just because they've decided to get themselves ordained, that doesn't give them any authority. And same thing with the Society of St. Pius X. People think because they have a formal seminary that they somehow have some kind of elevated status. They don't. Their instruction and educational setup is no more authoritative than anyone who would set up anything. All right, that's what you need to get through your heads. And now maybe I'll talk a little bit about some of the personal things that this guy Ken said about us and me in particular. And this guy Ken admits that even though he came across our videos, looked at our website, and as a result came out of the Vatican II Church, he hadn't spoken, he doesn't think, to either one of us for a couple years. It was only after this other guy left our monastery, because he was talking to him when that guy was answering the phones for us. It was only after he left that he actually talked some to us. And I mention that because in this video, he acts as if he knew us really well and as if he's got, you know, our personalities figured out. And that's one of the problems with many people, is that they think that they understand everything when they don't. And they think that they can figure people out really fast when they can't. And he acts as if he knows how happy I am, and it's just ridiculous. And he says that I'm like a grumpy old man. Well, maybe you got that impression because many of the times I dealt with you unfortunately involved having to rebuke you for your spiritual blindness and communicate to you that the priests you think so much of and the individuals you think so much of are in fact horrible heretics. And it couldn't get through your head because you didn't want it to. That's why, because you were blocking that truth out. You just wouldn't let it in. And so it was disappointing to see that kind of spiritual blindness. Anyway, he mentions that we had some discussions about this jurisdiction issue and how one of his best friends, a person we also know, took the position that there is no jurisdiction, this completely ridiculous schismatic position, one of the most ridiculous positions that anyone could take in the traditional movement. Anyone who would take this position demonstrates that they only know God from a book. They don't have any other knowledge of God. And it's refuted by facts of history, the principles of Catholic teaching, etc. But it's really an outrageous position. And his best friend takes this position and was persuaded by this other guy who took the position. Ken admits that when his best friend took the position, he stopped going to the church he was going to for a little while, which indicates that he was originally persuaded for at least some period of time by the no jurisdiction position because his friend took it, which again gets back to my point, how influenced these people are by the others around them. It's a bad sign. It indicates that they don't really serve God, that their attachment to God is corrupted by their human attachments. And it's fine to have human relationships as long as they do not impede or contradict the laws of God and your fidelity to Him. But with these people, that's usually the case. So anyway, he admits that he was at first persuaded by this, but then leaned against it, and he was writing us asking for insights on this matter, and he indicated that he was going to debate this other guy on the issue. And he says in his video that I discouraged him from engaging in the debate, which is true. I said he shouldn't do the debate, number one, because I didn't believe that he was totally convinced or could be a good representative of the position. After all, he was originally persuaded by the position, and he also said things to me in emails which indicated that he did not have a firm conviction. Now, he tries to say that he wasn't displaying doubt about his conviction on this point, but when he emailed us the arguments for this no jurisdiction position, he was just sort of playing the quote devil's advocate and just seeing how I'd respond. Well, that's not the way a Catholic should act. You need to indicate up front what you believe, not act as if you believe in this other position. But also, I don't believe that because he was originally persuaded, as he admits, by the no jurisdiction position, so much so that he stopped going to church. So he was obviously not a man of strong faith, and how frequently he changes his position demonstrates that. So that's one reason why I didn't think it would be a good idea for him to engage in any debate. The second is he was still not getting the point about these heretical priests. And what do you know, in this debate he engaged in, he wound up defending as Catholic these horrible heretics, Sanborn, etc., Tricata, these guys who believe souls can be saved in any religion, who are about as bad as Benedict XVI, believe the same thing he does. And I know some people will scoff at that statement, but it's true. It's absolutely true. They believe souls can be saved in any religion. That is a fact. If you ask them, they would just say, I can't judge. Okay? Some of them might come out and be more open, but when you pin them down, they just say, I can't judge, which proves our point. So, for those reasons, because he didn't get the point on salvation, and the other thing I mentioned about his lack of conviction on the jurisdiction issue, I didn't think he should do it. And he tries to say it was for other nefarious reasons. No, those are the reasons. And my insight proved correct, because when he actually did engage in the debate, he wound up promoting these heretics, which was mortally sinful. And another thing that's worth mentioning is that in the course of some of the email exchanges we had, and this was a couple years ago, I made it clear to him that insofar as he accepts these other priests as Catholic, he's a heretic. If he doesn't, then that's great. But since you don't seem to get the message on that, you are drifting into and or supporting heresy. I made that clear. Yet, in his video, he acts as if I talked behind his back and that he had no idea that I considered him a heretic and I was saying that to others. No, I made that clear to him up front. I told him that since you promote these guys, it's heresy. And I even told him that clearly after he promoted these heretics in this debate. So, no, I don't talk behind people's back. I'm very clear about where I stand. If I don't like you, I'm not going to act like I do. And so that was just false. He also says that when we finally stopped communicating, that I said to him essentially that he is excommunicated from my life. No, I didn't say that. It's just an outright falsehood. I wouldn't use such a term. It's theologically imprecise and wrong. It's not something I would say. Okay, I didn't say that. So that's false. Just like he falsely claimed we had never spoken to any CMRI priests. Completely wrong. He also doesn't mention the things he said to us that were so arrogant that prompted some of our responses. For example, one time, as he was being influenced by these different heretics who believe in salvation outside the church, the baptism of desire, raging apostate crowd who believe that souls can be saved in every religion, he was writing to us criticizing things we've posted in e-exchanges, and we hadn't sent him anything that should have instigated such a reaction. He just came right out of the blue in his arrogance and criticized things we said in our e-exchanges. And he doesn't mention that in his presentation when he's commenting on how we've condemned him justly. He never mentions what he said to us. And so he actually came out of the blue and criticized stuff we had done. He also said that when we added music to the Death and the Journey into Hell video, that we ruined the tape. Okay? Now, this is a video he admits that made just a tremendous impact on him, and he would watch it over and over again. And it was instrumental in his decision to accelerate his spiritual life, leave the Vatican II Church, and become more interested in the traditional church. But when music was added to the final edition, Brother Michael added classical music. Okay, all the music on all the videos we've added is from the classical genre. And he says, you ruin the video by adding rock music to it. Words to that effect. That is just extremely arrogant. Even if you don't like the music, okay, there's a more tactful way of putting it, or just don't mention it at all. To come right out of the blue and say, you've ruined the video by adding rock music. It contains a false accusation, because it wasn't rock music. It's all from the classical genre. We think it improved the video. But the arrogance with which that was stated, and this reveals the lack of charity and the pride present in this individual. And it's one of the reasons why he can't see the truth. God resists the proud and gives his grace to the humble. James 4:6. And it's ironic because in his video, he actually has rock music at the end of it. It's clear rock music with the beat. And it's just amazing that he falsely accused us of including rock music. While he's now including rock music in his videos, it's really something. And it's also interesting how this guy accuses me of talking behind his back, which is totally false, when he's the one actually who acts in that fashion, because we make it clear, and we made it clear to him, that we don't regard you as a Catholic if you obstinately support or regard as Catholic these heretical priests. Yet he was communicating with us as if he agreed with us sometimes, but the rest of the time communicating with these heretics as if he regarded them as Catholic. And so he was doing the very thing he falsely accused us of doing. If he were upfront and honest and charitable and forthright and like a man out front about what you believe, he would have told us, no, I don't agree with you at all. But sometimes he would act like he agreed with us, and other times we would see evidence that he is still supporting these priests. And so that's the activity of a two-faced person. And it's just ironic how they falsely accuse you of things, but they're guilty of those things. It's just such an injustice. And that's proven by the fact that when I debated this guy and he was refuted, he even acknowledges basically that he has to change his position to our position in the debate. But yet now he's acting as if he didn't really agree with us. And so he just sort of acted like he agreed with us? That's two-faced. More proof of exactly what I'm saying. And so anyway, as we were discussing this jurisdiction issue, this was a couple years ago, he was asking for assistance on the matter and we were discussing the issue. He wanted me to talk to his friends, one of his best friends and his wife, who had taken this schismatic position. And these people are also people who read our stuff, who stopped supporting these heretical priests at one time after seeing our stuff, and so they were very familiar with us, and we had seen a tremendous pattern of bad will from this group over the years, and specifically that they continued to support certain priests well after they knew they should not. It just showed that they were so bound by the devil and that activity that they just couldn't stop supporting the heretical priests, and so there was a lot of bad will in their history. But anyway, they also claim to believe in explicit baptism of desire, and they embrace this ridiculous no jurisdiction position. And so I called them up, and in the conversation I was definitely going to bring up their compromised and contradictory position on salvation, as well as their schismatic position on jurisdiction. And so I'm talking to the man of the house, And the wife gets on the phone. And the wife is just so arrogant and just keeps butting into the conversation. You can see that the diabolical opposition to what I'm saying is really coming from her. He's obviously very bad-willed, but it's quite apparent to me that this woman has a serious problem. And it was really difficult to try to communicate with the man when you had the woman there. And so anyway, it wound up being a three-person conversation, essentially. And you can see the hatred that she had come to develop for us. And I pointed out their contradiction because they were persuaded to this no jurisdiction position by this individual who goes around giving talks, and he's a compromised heretic on the salvation dogma because he accepts this letter Suprema Hoc Sacra. And that's another point. Suprema Hoc Sacra, the fallible and heretical alleged Holy Office letter put out August 8th, 1949, also called Protocol 12249, which teaches invincible ignorance that people don't have to belong to the body of the church. And maybe I'll just do a separate talk breaking down exactly how indefensibly heretical Suprema Hoc Sacra is. But anyway, that heretical document, which this guy Ken also accepts, explicitly teaches invincible ignorance. And it says that it teaches invincible ignorance not for catechumens. So who might that be? Who might that be? If it's not limiting itself to catechumens, but it's teaching invincible ignorance, it's obviously talking about people who haven't heard the gospel. So people can be saved without faith in Christ. That is heretical. And so this guy they were persuaded by believes that. This guy Ken believes that. And these people I'm talking to also accepted that letter. And I'm saying that you can't claim to only believe an explicit baptism of desire for unbaptized catechumens unless you denounce as heretical Suprema Hoc Sacra, because Suprema Hoc Sacra teaches invincible ignorance. And they wouldn't do it, and they contradicted themselves, and it showed their bad will. And again, it proved my point. There's not one person on earth, I would bet, who only believes in explicit baptism of desire. Every person who claims to, I can prove, either supports priests who believe that souls can be saved in any religion, or accepts documents which teach that, such as Suprema Hoc Sacra. I pointed out their inconsistency on that, and I asked them about certain individuals who believe in salvation outside the church. Would you condemn them as heretical? And they wouldn't. So they showed their dishonesty and bad will. And this woman, you could see, is just outraged. And she really started to get insulting with me. She kept calling me Peter, Peter, really trying to demean me personally. In response, I brought up a valid point, and I said, well, if that's the way you feel, if you think I'm just, you know, a layman and you're going to say Peter, Peter, and with such derision, maybe you should think about the fact that if we had chosen, and I said words to this effect, if we had chosen to enter a different state of life and not become religious, you probably wouldn't even have the children you have, because these people were using NFP, and it was through our influence and instruction that they stopped using that sinful birth control practice. And they've had a number of children as a result. I don't know exactly how many. They've had a number of children, which they very well might not have, probably wouldn't have had, if they hadn't ever come across our stuff. And so I brought up the valid point that if you want to attack me personally, maybe you should think about the fact that if I hadn't entered the monastery and Brother Michael hadn't entered the monastery, you might not even have the children that you have. And so it was a really devastating rebuttal to her unjust, vicious, and frankly diabolical personal attacks on me in the course of this theological discussion where I was trying to communicate to her husband. And it really cut them to the heart. And that's frankly what we've noticed, that our words, because they're true and because they hit home, cut people to the heart. And we've noticed that people we've rebuked years later still just have this hatred toward us because deep down they know what we said was true. And so this guy Ken brings up this, how I said this to them, and exaggerates what I said. He says that I said the sole reason they have children is because of me. No, I made the point as I just articulated it, and it was valid, and it was just, and it was called for to put these heretics in their place. And this woman is diabolical. The husband is also diabolical. They're just obstinate heretics, and they're faithless apostates, which is proven by the fact that even after this point, they changed their position again. They did a video in which they abandoned their jurisdiction position It was a video in which they indicated that they didn't necessarily condemn as unlawful all these priests, such as the CMRI. So it just shows you that the reason they're switching back and forth all over the place is because there's no firm conviction rooted in God. It's swayed and influenced by the people around them too much. That's another point that I wanted to mention, is that this guy Ken was best friends with this guy, even though Ken rejected the no jurisdiction position. And this other guy accepted the no jurisdiction position. Think about that. This other guy, okay, I'll just call him K. K holds that the churches Ken goes to are schismatic, unlawful, and that the priests are essentially spiritually bastard priests who are wolves in sheep's clothing, handing out unlawful and sacrilegious sacraments. And this guy Ken is best friends with this guy, buddy-buddy. That can't happen. If that's the way he feels about your spiritual life, you can't have a best friendship with that guy. You can't maintain a great friendship with him. He's condemning everything you do and you stand for and you believe as evil and unlawful and schismatic. And so it's another example of how it's not about the truth. It's some of the truth, but it's corrupted with human attachments. And that's something else I pointed out. And in this conversation, this guy Ken came up, my conversation with Kay and his wife, and I pointed out that Ken is a heretic, because at this point, Ken had publicly promoted these priests who are salvation outside the church heretics. And this should have been no secret to Ken, because I communicated the same to him in emails, that if he believes that, he's a heretic. And so Ken says that I talked behind his back in this conversation with him. No, I had simply told them what we publicly state about these priests and those who obstinately support them, as well as what I communicated to him personally. So he lies about that. And he also doesn't even know what transpired in the conversation, because he wasn't part of it. All he knows about it is what his heretical friends say, the people who have demonstrated bad will over and over again. And so that's the reality of what occurred. And this guy Ken never mentions any of the things he said to us. For example, in an email after I talked to his heretical friends, and you could see that when I wrote to Ken, after I had this conversation with Kay and his wife, I wrote to him and just pointed out how evil these people are. It was so obvious, especially the woman. The man, he's evil, unfortunately, and I wish for their conversion, but the wife is just, she is just totally evil. I pointed out to him in charity that these are people you should stay away from. They may be part of the reason you are so weak and so influenced by heretical voices. And he, you could see, just rebelled, because it would mean cutting off a friend. And this relates to an email that we posted recently, in which someone was repeating a truth which is obvious, but it's a good point, that if you're going to follow Christ, you must be willing to give up everything. Family, friends, wife, possessions, everything. Now, God, in His mercy, doesn't always require that, but everything has to be on the table. Everything. And that's the biggest problem that we have. Not only do we have liars everywhere, that we have liars everywhere, but we have people who are compromised by human attachments, and they're not willing to see things as they are. That's the problem with this guy, Ken. And when I rebuked his friends and I pointed out that your friends are just evil, he just rebelled and went off and sent back an email saying that I'm cold-hearted, bad-willed, warped. I have no respect for you anymore. Sorry that I ever did. You could really care less about anybody but yourself. Judgmental, uncharitable, spiritual blindness, attacking us in other ways, attacking our basically right to publish things. And so he doesn't mention any of this stuff. This is the kind of stuff he says. And when I wrote back to him, I made points about how he's of bad will. And by the way, this guy said similar things prior to our debate on Baptism Bazaar. And in the debate, he admits he was refuted and basically changes his position. So he's saying the same stuff before our encounter on that issue and is completely refuted. And other things he agreed with us on, he then changed his position on because we insulted his friends. I pointed out how illogical it is for him to even be friends with these people, because according to that individual's position, the CMRI would have to be considered schismatic, and Ken supports the CMRI. Therefore, this guy K would have to consider Ken as on the road to hell, So how are you going to be best friends and defend this guy when he thinks you're going to hell and when he thinks the priests you support are illicit and operating in an evil ministry? It's just ridiculous. And I bet you they never even discuss all these implications of their differences. And then these people talk about this Father Chicada as if they have respect for this guy. His argument on theologians that we must follow the common consent of theologians is so false. Just read section 19 of my book, Outside the Catholic Church, There is Absolutely No Salvation. His argument is dismantled. The Church teaches, and the document references Tuas Libenter, teaches that the matters on which you must agree with the theologians are matters that are taught by the ordinary and universal magisterium and taught by theologians in universal and constant agreement. Not common agreement of one period. Universal and constant and taught by the ordinary and universal magisterium. It's not baptism of desire, because the early church, the majority view is that unbaptized catechumens cannot be saved by baptism of desire. So his position is just totally obliterated, and that was shown in the debates we've had. It's just ridiculous. This guy Chicada also was in favor or defended as just the starving of Terry Schiavo, and these people still have respect for this guy. He believes in NFP, souls can be saved in any religion. It's just outrageous. And so, yes, these are the type of heretics who lead people like you to hell. That's what you need to realize. Few are saved. And another thing he mentions is that none of his friends like us. Well, the very fact that you're mentioning that is indicative of your problem. Why do you care what your friends think? Whether your friends like us should not be your prime consideration. What is true should be your prime consideration. Whether what we're saying is justifiable, that is the main concern. And again, it gets back to how these people are swayed by others around them. It's like we get people who email us different things, and you may hear about people who promote our stuff on a particular forum or something, and someone will write in and say, oh, those guys are bad news. And someone will say, well, thank you for letting me know. Well, maybe you want to check that out yourself rather than just taking the word of this other person. It's amazing how weak these people are and how much they are influenced by what people will say. That's why so few find the truth. And there's more hypocrisy in this guy, Ken, because he condemns the Novus Ordo clerics as heretics, condemns the Novus Ordo bishops as heretics. By what authority does he do that? And yet he condemns us as judgmental, saying that we are uncharitable for condemning people as heretics. No, we're condemning justly the independent priests as heretics because we can prove, I just played the words of Sanborn and they all believe the same thing, that souls can be saved in false religions. That's a condemned heresy. That proves that Sanborn is not a Catholic. It's the very same criteria by which you and others can correctly say that the Novus Ordo clerics are heretics, because they deviate from and reject Catholic doctrine. So it's just more hypocrisy from you to say that it's uncharitable and off-limits to condemn these priests as heretics, even though we have all the evidence. Yet you condemn the Novus Ordo priests as heretics based on evidence. It's also hypocritical because you talk about theologians, you can follow the theologians. Then follow Vatican II if you apply that reasoning. If that's your standard, you would have to. I'm not recommending that, but that's what your position would have to lead you into. Because if you're saying that we do not stand on what the dogmatic proclamation itself declares, but rather what the theologians say about it, then you should submit yourself in humility to what the, quote, learned theologians say about Vatican II and its interpretation, and they will tell you, the current ones, that it represents the true teaching of Christ and his church. Their claim is false, but since you don't base yourself on the text itself, but rather on what the, quote, learned theologians say about the text and the approved theologians, then you would have to submit yourself to the, quote, approved theologians and accept Vatican II. It's just another inconsistency in their position. This guy Ken also complains that we condemn these independent priests as heretics for traveling around and administering the sacraments and putting out so much effort to do so. No, we do not condemn them for that reason. We clearly condemn them for their denials of Catholic teaching in the areas I've described. And the fact that they spend some time traveling to different places to administer sacraments, as if that demonstrates that they must be on the side of truth. That is ridiculous reasoning. There are countless Protestants who travel all over the world in an attempt to spread their various false religions. There are members of all kinds of sects who spend their whole lives dedicated to their heretical teachings. They're not on the side of God. Their effort will not profit them or others unto salvation. Thus, the very fact that these priests spend some time, and really, how much time do they spend? How much do they really accomplish? It's exaggerated. These people think that because they celebrate Mass that they are somehow busy. What do they do the rest of the week? What do they produce? How many people do they reach? Those were some of the thoughts about this individual that I wanted to put into this video. One woman actually emailed us about his criticism of us, and in particular his claim that I told him, "You will be excommunicated from my life," something I never said. Concerning that statement that was falsely attributed to us, she said, "You should never say that," words to that effect. "These Diamond Brothers are evil." Well, first of all, I never even said that, so she just uncharitably believes what this guy said without even consulting us, and concludes we're evil as a result. That's an example of bad will. But it's indicative of how distortions, falsehoods, lies have their effect and make an impact with people who aren't really grounded in truth and easily succumb to evil.